is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Oh yeah, the truth will set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye.
Cordy, and you are listening to Vaccine Free America. Today, I have a co-host. Her name is Roxy Lopez, and Roxy Lopez is well-renowned for her long-term radio shows, The Truth Denied, and you can find her at thetruthdenied.com. She introduced me to a woman by the name of Peterson, Barbara Peterson, who has started a group with others, I believe, called Restore Liability to the Vaccine Makers. Okay, well, I have a couple of announcements before I bring my co-host and my guest on, and this is going to be a very important show tonight. I'm very eager to share their perspectives with you and the information they have. However, I have two things this week have to be done, and I need your help to do it. The first is a petition to Congress for a national memorial to vaccine victims. And I'm going to give you a website. It's going to be archived as well, along with the show. But I'm going to give it to you now. Write it down, because we need to get on this immediately. It is tinyurl.com/VVM2020 or Vaccine Victims Memorial 2020. So tinyurl.com/VVM2020, and that will take you to the petition. I need your signatures. I need 1,000, okay? I need 1,000 by Monday. So we have made incredible strides, and I want to thank Roxy Lopez for a minimum of 100 of those signatures, because she took the petition and she sent it by inboxing all of her friends this petition and asking them to sign it. And they all did. So all I can say is, bless you, Roxy Lopez. Now, she also turned me on, if you will, to Barbara Peterson, who is a very long-term activist, as is Roxy. And she has been active in the realm of GMOs and has recently come to this issue. And hasn't she hit the nail on the head? What has to happen to change things? What has to happen is that we restore liability to the vaccine makers, because since it was taken away, the number of vaccines has tripled. Okay? So this is why our kids are as sick as they are. They shouldn't even get one, but they 24, as horrible as the number that is, 72 is three times worse. Okay? So this will curtail the amount of damage they can do. We all want to ban them. We want to put a halt to this program yesterday. But certainly an effective step would be to reverse the liability and make sure that the people who are producing these poisons and the doctors who are injecting them are held liable for their actions. So with that having been said, welcome my co-host Roxy Lopez of thetruthdenied.com.
Hi, Sally. Glad to be here on the fly.
Right. This whole show is on the fly. I had a guest who canceled, and I thought, yay, I have all these groovy people I want to talk to. So let's pull them in. And then Barbara Peterson, who Roxy introduced me to, and we just joined her group, and you'll find her Facebook group on in the archive as well. And I want to welcome her. Welcome, Barbara Peterson.
Well, hello. It's good to be here.
I want you to tell the audience, you know what, I have one more announcement. I apologize. On 11/11, I will not have another show before 11/11, but I want everyone to think about what office they will be running for, because I have run for the Vaccine Free Party and the Health Freedom Party together. I gave people two petitions, and people awake enough to understand health freedom is important, we're thrilled to sign a vaccine-free petition. I got 20-1 vaccine-free signatures over health freedom when I ran for mayor. So when I tell you, take a giant leap in the right direction, go vaccine-free, and choose an office to run for. And we're attacking this from every angle, from a memorial to a reversal of the liability issue, to running for offices ourselves to go vaccine free. Every which way we can attack it, we will, because our children are under attack. So now back to Barbara Peterson, our honored guest. You were working in GMOs. That was your issue for a long time. You can tell us how many years, and we'd like to know why you made the transition to focus now on vaccines.
Well, first, I would like to clarify something. It's Paul Turner that actually has started that group, and then I joined it. So I didn't actually start the group. I just wanted to be a little accurate on that. But the GMO issue started back in 2005. I got sick. I got very, very sick. A little background on me. I was an endurance rider, an avid endurance rider. I did the Tevis, which is the most difficult endurance ride on horse in the world. And that's 100 miles in one day, 24 hours. And finished it. I was totally healthy. That was back in 1991. GMOs didn't start flooding the marketplace with the glyphosate until around 1996. Okay, now, it took a while because I was healthy, extremely healthy, and it took a while to accumulate in my system. And in 2005, something happened. Something very drastic happened. I got a very small spot on my leg, about the size of a dime, that just started itching horribly, and I couldn't stop it. I didn't know what to do. I was putting creams on it, ointments, everything, and it wouldn't stop. And then it started spreading. And it spread all over my body. I was in misery. I was scratching until I bled. I took a bleach bath, which is like, you know, that's ridiculous. And that didn't help. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I knew it had to be diet related. So I stopped eating. I literally lost 40 pounds. I mean, just, I was drinking my well water, and I was afraid to eat. But I found that the itching started going away, so I know, okay, this is diet-related. This is definitely diet-related. And I started going back to the basics. I wouldn't eat anything processed. I put nothing but fruits, vegetables, you know, organic, no pesticides and all that. And I started getting better. And then I started doing the research on our food. What else was I going to do? I have to live. And so I started doing the research, and I started getting into, wait a minute, they've been genetically modifying our food supply. And glyphosate, which is a metal chelator, which was actually invented as a pipe cleaner It cleans the, it binds to the minerals and kills off everything. And they decided, oh, it kills plants. So let's go ahead and, you know, engineer some food and put it on the food, and farmers will have a really good time with this, making a lot of food. Doesn't matter what it does to you, because Monsanto has no liability for it. So,
Wait. Monsanto has no liability for glyphosate?
No. They basically said that it's the FDA's job to, initially, the FDA's job to vouchsafe for the safety of their products. The FDA said it's the producer's job to vouchsafe for the safety of their products. That since then, Monsanto has been sued successfully in front of a jury, which is the key, in front of a jury, the people.
$289 million for that gardener, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think there's been three cases. Now, if it wasn't in front of a jury, I don't think they would have won. But the jury decided, hey, wait a minute, it was the people that decided. Monsanto still claims it's perfectly safe. Perfectly safe. I know for a fact, when I experimented on myself, and I started introducing things, like I'd say, okay, I'm going to try this. I know it's got GMOs in it, probably with glyphosate. I'm going to eat it. And I ate a little bit of it, and I'd start itching again. I'd stop, and within 3 days, the itching would go away. So I know it was a direct cause and effect. And that's when I started on my campaign against GMOs and glyphosate. And I did some research like crazy. That's all I would do. I mean, I was obsessed with it because it's important. I mean, it's spreading all over the place. All over the place. And the fact that they got away with it and are still getting away with it is due to ignorance. They have an excellent PR campaign. They play on the fact that people will trust what they say. They will trust the authorities. And if somebody says something is safe and they have a doctor's coat on, or they have, you know, a big, big company, and they say, oh, it's safe, our scientists said it is, they'll go, oh, okay, well, it must be safe. And they don't question it. What I'm trying to get people to do is question authority. Question that person that you trust so much, because guess what? They're not perfect. They might be telling you that because that's what they've been told, and they're just spouting it off, or they might have an ulterior motive. You don't know, so you have to think for yourself and question. So when things like going into the vaccines, things like HR 5546, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, comes into play, you have to question that, and you have to look at the wording. It specifically states, provides that no vaccine manufacturer shall be liable in a civil action for damages arising from a vaccine-related injury or death, and they have, you know, resulting from, number one, unavoidable side effects. Okay, think about that. Unavoidable side effects. What is an unavoidable side effect? Okay, now you go to U.S. law. Okay, the Restatement of Torts, 1963 to 1964, provides that unavoidably unsafe products, those that in the present state of human knowledge are quite incapable of being made safe for their intended and ordinary use, are not defective. That's U.S. law. Okay, so when you lump vaccines, saying, okay, well, the reason why they cannot be held liable in a civil action is because they have unavoidable side effects. They are unavoidably unsafe. Think about that for a second. They really, really have the legal language down. Okay? So, when somebody gets injured by a vaccine, the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to go to the doctor and they're going to say, well, we just had this vaccine and this happened. And the doctor's going to say, 9 times out of 10, couldn't possibly be the vaccine, they're safe. And then the person is going to go, oh, okay, well, what else could it be? And the doctor's going to do tests. And he's going to say, well, it could be this, try this. Or it could be that, try that. And they're going to go through all this stuff, and never once are they going to put it together. It was from the vaccine, because they're relying on that trusted authority figure and not questioning. So here we are. We've got this in place, no liability, the people aren't questioning, excuse me, and the ones that do are put off. But the ones that do go through all the steps and actually get a doctor that will say, hey, you know what? This was caused by the vaccine. It's only a very small percentage. And that goes into the VAERS system, which is a reporting system. And then that small percentage goes to a court. And that court determines whether they can prove it, and it takes most times years, if you can, to prove that it was actually caused by the vaccine. And if they do get compensation, guess who pays for it? Not the vaccine manufacturer, because they're not liable. Who pays for it is all the people getting the vaccines, because they pay a tax on every vaccine that is given. You pay a tax on it. That tax goes into the injury fund, which pays out the lawsuits. So we pay for our own stuff.
The amount they pay out is ridiculously low. Mm-hmm. I know a young girl who suffered from the flu shot. She developed a muscle wasting disease, 5 years old. And after her mother, who's about the wisest woman I know, she actually did get just to get them to admit it is a miracle. Because only 1 in 500 people I've interviewed who have vaccine-injured children, only 1 in 500 out of the 1,000, two, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. Have received remuneration. I just want to take a second and say the man who won the lawsuit for glyphosate, who was a gardener and exposed to it, he won $289 million. $289 million. This, through the vaccine court, this little girl, 5 years old, with a muscle-wasting disease, and that man was elderly, 5 years, muscle-wasting disease, got $15,000 versus $289 million. Okay, we'll be right back with our guest, Barbara Peterson, and my co-host, Roxy Lopez, who will take over from here.
Our eyes and our heart. folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day. Without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts.
Hi, everyone. Hi there, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and welcome back to Vaccine Free America. I'd like to introduce everybody to my co-host, Roxy Lopez. Welcome, Roxy.
Hi, thanks. Hey, listen, great conversation, and I just want to back up a little bit here if I can put my two cents in. First of all, Barbara, I always have looked up to you. I've interviewed you a few times, and we've spent lots of hours on the phone. You're just a plethora of information. Your story is amazing. I just want to let everybody know the website for Barb is farmwars.info. And I'm going to quote something that you have on your website, Barbara, if I may.
Sure.
So there's an article, and it starts off by saying, the sheer size and scope of the deception, the con, the fraud, the criminality is truly breathtaking. Over the course of 100 years or more, many generations, they have spun their web of lies and subterfuge. As far as the masses of people are concerned, they have well and truly boiled the frog by ever so slowly turning up the heat, which is so true. It is exactly how this has been going at this pace. And then I wanted to bring up something you guys were mentioning earlier with the, you know, Obama, March 26, 2013, he passed the Monsanto Protection Act, and that has been continued. There's Bayer Roundup lawsuits, Johnson & Johnson. These lawsuits are finally coming forward, and thanks for explaining to us as well, Barb, some of the slush funds, I guess, that are put together off of a tax put on the pharmaceuticals, specifically vaccines, to pay for those lawsuits. It's outrageous. And I was going to mention, I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine. I've known her for 40 years. She's a biologist, chemist, works for the government. And as long as I've known her, that's what she's done. And she as well is an organic farmer and organic, got sick as well from eating GMOs. And we had a long conversation one evening, not too long ago, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. What she does for a living is she tests everything under the sun, from pharmaceuticals to chemicals that are used in the industry and in agriculture, et cetera. And she said that one of the things that she comes across on a daily basis, which is maddening, and I asked her how she could even continue working at a job like this, she finds, that's her job, to find something carcinogenic, whatever, in the chemical or whatever's being used, the weed killer, et cetera, or even a pharmaceutical. She finds it. She tests it. She proves it and sends miles of reports, if you can imagine, to the EPA and the FDA. And I said, well, what happens? What happens when you can prove that this can kill people? What happens? So this is her job. This is her job to find the poisons in X, Y, and Z, if you will. She says they get the report. They, you know, like they're doing their job, the FDA and the EPA. But then they send a, you know, some sort of letter or what have you to the company that's producing whatever it is, whatever chemical, whatever it is. And that company remakes the product with the same ingredients, but changes the names of the ingredients. And hence, she starts the ball rolling all over again. The new product comes out. She's back in the lab, testing it again, finding, you know, the same ingredients, just called by a different name. And I think they did this in the food industry as well, if you guys remember. If you were looking and reading ingredients on packages or so forth, they sort of masked what a GMO was. They called it something else, like a soybean oil, or, you know, nobody really realized that it was a genetically modified soybean, et cetera. So with that in mind, what is also always been maddening for me is why on earth the public is the back engineering all this, the public, as you did, as you have done, Barb. You had to figure out, it's got to be in the food. What is in the food? What made me sick by, first of all, not eating, like you said, drinking water, going from a very good, you know, 100% healthy state, physical and mental state, and losing 40 pounds because you were afraid to eat. I know your story really well. And you had to find out what it was that you were eating by simply stop not eating and then slowly putting, you know, ingesting certain things, hence you have in an organic farm as well. This is so important, what we're talking about with the vaccines. And what I want to ask you, Barb, was what is the correlation with, you know, like we're up to speed, right? What is the correlation with the vaccines? And correct me if I'm wrong, and the glyphosate, is there a connection there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you tell us about it and how you found this out?
Well, there's been studies done and research done, and what happens is, even Monsanto will admit this, that glyphosate will collect in bone marrow. Okay. It's everywhere. It's been found in mother's milk. It's found in people's urine because it's on everything. It's in the waterways. It's on the food that the animals eat. Then it goes into the water. It's sprayed all over crops. It is everywhere, and it's collecting in the bone marrow. So what happens is in the vaccines, they go ahead and, the way I understand it, they take this, you know, especially in live virus vaccines, they take this and they formulate it using collagen, enzymes, gelatin, and from the bone marrow, and that's how they're formulating the vaccines, and it's all contaminated with glyphosate. Okay, gelatin is derived from animal skin and bone, especially pigs and cattle. Okay, they're in the factory farms, they're all fed glyphosate contaminated food. Roundup Ready corn, soy, beet pulp. And gelatin is derived mainly by partial hydrolysis from the collagen in skin and bone from the animals. Your vaccines have glyphosate in them. And one very interesting thing, you don't hear about this too much. Okay, the what's her name? Farmer went on, and she was a Monsanto a couple of years ago. Monsanto scientist, and she specifically said, well, the IARC, which said that it was, you know, carcinogenic, well, they really, you know, didn't do the right test. They injected the glyphosate, and of course it caused harm. But if you use it according to directions, then it won't cause harm. Well, so I did a little research on that, and I found out glyphosate patent U.S. 777-1736 on August 30th, 2002 is for injectable glyphosate. Injectable glyphosate. Okay. And it's for an application.
So is this being done purposely? Is this being done purposely? I mean, that, you know, I just have to think like my readers and my audience, you know, that would be the first thing I'd ask. Is it done on purpose?
Well, see, that is the question. That is the question. Because once you start adding all these things up, that's the conclusion that you come to.
Exactly, I can't, because what do they need it for? Is it a binding thing for the vaccines, or is it something that binds the food, or what have you? You see what I mean? Like, a lot of times there's binders in foods. Or is it purposeful to create harm, to create disease, to create death?
They've already stated that, they slip up all the time, like when she said, well, if you inject it, it's, you know, bad, it causes harm, but then they have a patent for injecting it.
Right.
And there's also different ways of applying it.
Yeah,
like through tampons intravaginally. Yes, it's in the patent, and by cream and all that, because it's an antimicrobial. It kills off bacteria. And any microbe, it will kill it.
The glyphosate does that?
The glyphosate, yes. It kills it. That's what it was designed to do. Okay, it kills off the microbes. When they say the Shikimite, or however you pronounce it, pathway, you know, it kills off those microbes. And they say, well, the humans don't have that. Well, our gut bacteria, they have that pathway, and that's what's getting killed off. The glyphosate kills it off, okay? So they've got this chelating agent, which is glyphosate, okay? And they've already said, well, it's safe. So they basically, you know, have a free pass saying it's safe, except for, you know, occasional lawsuit that cost them $289 million. But that is a drop in the bucket, if you think about it. It's really a drop in the bucket for these people, and they already contested it, and they brought it down by less than half. And so if it's in the vaccines, if everybody thinks it's safe, okay, now it's in the vaccines, well, who cares? Who cares if it's in the vaccines? It's safe, and they have a patent for it, and it's perfectly safe, so it can be injected anyway. And either it's on purpose or they really don't care. All they care about, if you follow the money, and this is where I always end up going to, if you follow the money, people will do just about anything for money. Oh, we found out that it's hurting somebody. Well, we can't mess with the bottom line. So don't tell. Monsanto's been caught, you know, doing that in paperwork. You know, don't tell that the fish were killed in the river where we dumped this stuff, you know, because it's going to affect our bottom line. And that's the vaccine industry. Are you kidding? Big Pharma has got huge profits on stake, you know, at stake here. Gigantic profits. And the fact that if they give enough vaccines as possible, they're going to create even more profits because people are going to get sick and they're going to go back to the pharmaceutical industry to heal them. So it's a win-win. Why should they care?
It's a vicious cycle. How many, you know, Sally, how many vaccines are required? Do you know the number between birth and 18 years old? Do you have a rough estimate of how many vaccines are?
Yeah, 72 doses, and 72 I say doses. 72 doses. It might be 54 shots, but a lot of the shots are multiple doses, like the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella, DTP, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. It used to be 24 doses before they lifted the liability, and it shot up to 72 doses through the age of 18.
Mm-hmm. And then they're requiring it. There's laws, you know, requiring it. You and I had talked about that yesterday. So here's my next question, Barb.
Only in certain states, to be clear. I want to tell you the states.
Yes.
Maine.
Yes, and you named the states. Yeah, what were the states?
Yeah, Maine, New York, California, West Virginia, and Mississippi. In all other states, you can get a philosophical or religious exemption in order to attend school, but the children through the age of two, the doctors are being monetarily incentivized to fully vaccinate, and the most vaccines are given in those first 2 years. Year one alone is 33
right.
doses in year one alone. So they're being incentivized, and 83% of their practice has to be fully vaccinated, and that's why they are throwing people out of their practices if they don't accept this, the motherload of vaccines, because it's ruining the percentage of their clients, and they're going to lose out on a big fat payday.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Now I have another question about glyphosate. Just out of curiosity, because, you know, you mentioned follow the money earlier, Barb. Is glyphosate something that's fairly cheap, inexpensive to make?
I don't know the numbers on that, but what I can say is the farmers are hooked on it. It's like a drug. Okay, you've got your farming practices that depend on glyphosate. I mean, literally depend on glyphosate. It's they can't farm without it because they're counting on it.
Because it protects the crops, right?
Yeah, all they have to do is go out, they've got, and yes, kill everything, and then, you know, they plant their genetically engineered crops. And it's impervious to the glyphosate. Of course, it absorbs the glyphosate, and then we get it when we eat. But they're dependent on it. Plus, once you plant your field with a proprietary genetically engineered seed, you are property of the company that created that seed and has the patent on that seed. In other words, if the company, like Monsanto, goes into a field like Percy Schmeiser's and finds a genetically engineered canola plant, then you owe that company for the their seed I can't think of the name of it.
Like a
for
royalty?
The licensing, a royalty. Yeah, for the licensing.
Yeah, like a royalty licensing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there were cases a few years back where Monsanto was suing farmers. Remember
yes.
that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
all, it was so
absolutely.
Backwards. They were suing farmers.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I went to a farm in Hawaii. It was an organic farm. There were several of them side by side. One side of the street was organic farms. Across the street were GMO farms. And this is absolutely fact. These smaller farmers were getting sued because across the street were Monsanto grew, or Monsanto seeds, I should say, and they would have these guys that would come out to these organic farms and test what was growing mm-hmm. in their fields, right? And if they found anything GMO-ish that blew in the wind and landed in the field and grew, they sued the farmers.
Yep. Let me read you a quote. This was a quote from a Monsanto executive. "The hope of the industry is that over time the market is so flooded with GMOs that there's nothing you can do about it. You just sort of surrender." That's Don Westfall, mm-hmm. biotech industry consultant and vice president of Promar International, in the Toronto Star, January 9th, 2001.
And here we are.
And here we are. It's in our vaccines.
And here we are. Exactly.
The glyphosate.
And, and another thing, I don't know if people understand this, let's jump back into that pharmaceutical, the vaccines. You know, lobbying, it's pretty obvious that lobbying, the pharma's lobby Congress to pass X, Y, and Z constantly, right? And so mm-hmm. I don't know, I mean, in my fight, you know, I don't know who is doing this. I'm sure there are people that are doing this to get rid of lobbying altogether, you know, get rid of it. That because lobbying, and we all know this, is just legal, you know, bribery. That's yep. all it is. Mm-hmm. They're bribing, you know, Congress, men and women. So my point is, in order, because it's a very overwhelming subject matter, you know, it's in the food, it's in the water, it's in the air, it's on furniture, it's in the fabric, as you said, tampons, you know, tampons, mm-hmm. you know, this is the ovarian mm-hmm. cancer, you know. And there's a $2.5 billion lawsuit right now that looks like they're going to win, but there's so many casualties that are involved in the class action lawsuit. I can't imagine that everybody's going to get, you know, the amount of money that they're going to need, but it's a huge lawsuit. So at the end of the day, if I were to become an activist, you know, for those people who maybe do want to, they do want to get involved. And again, I'm going to remind people a very, very good group on Facebook, which is Restore Liability for the Vaccine Makers. And what I'm going to do, Barb, is I'm going to post that periodically on our Truth Denied news
Wonderful.
Page on Facebook, because I couldn't find it. I had the full name, put it in the Facebook search engine, and it wouldn't mm-hmm. come up, and Sally couldn't find it either. I finally did find it because you gave it to me, or Paul gave it to me, and then I gave it to Sally. Remember, Sally?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't find it mm-hmm. in a search engine. So I just want people to know that it's very difficult to find in the search engine on Facebook. And it's a pretty large group. You've got about 7,000 people in that group. So, again, it's called Restore Liability for the Vaccine Makers. And like I said, I'm going to periodically post that link, if that's okay with you and Paul, so that you know, other people can join. Okay?
When you type that in the, don't mean to interrupt, but when you type that into the address bar and then all that comes up, click on groups and it'll come up faster.
Okay. Okay. Well, when I put it into the search engine on Facebook, not on Google, mm-hmm. on Facebook,
yeah.
I got, and I didn't put the word group, so you're right. I just put the name, and I got the CDC, I got all kinds of, the WHO,
yeah.
I got the World Health Organization, I got all these things, but not your group.
uh-huh.
So
and it's all pro-vaccine.
It's so much fun. Paul said,
are we having fun yet? But at the end, you got to laugh sometimes, right? Or you cry. So
yeah.
If someone wants to become an activist or get involved, let's say there are moms out there, dads out there. They might have vaccine-injured children or not. They just don't want the vaccines. They're a little bit educated, whatever. You know, the general public, and they want to get involved. Where should they start? Do you have an idea of that? Like, where would they start to become a part of something?
Well, start questioning. Okay, you're gonna get the first thing that I did with the vaccines is I looked at the inserts. I asked the doctor. Okay, when they wanted to give me a tuberculosis test for a job that I was going to do, and they said, well, we need a TB test. And she came in with a needle and a syringe, and she said, well, we're going to, you know, inject this under your skin. And I looked at her. I said, what's in it? And she said, well, it's a tetanus toxin. So I said, what else is in it? She didn't know. And I said, I want to see the insert. So they gave me the patient propaganda sheet is what I call it. And I said, no, this doesn't have the ingredients. It doesn't have the side effects. It doesn't have anything like that. I want the insert. And so she finally dug around and she got me the insert and I looked at it. And what it said in the insert was not approved for people of my age group, not tested for them for safety. Okay, and there was one other thing. The ingredients, they were horrible. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't want this. There's another way. And I went online and I found out, you know, she got very angry at me and then gave me a dirty look. I left, went online and found out there's a blood draw. So I called up and I said, well, why don't I get that? And she said, it costs too much. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I've got insurance. I want the blood draw. And I went back to that same place and forced them to do the blood draw without the, you know, toxic ingredients going in. You have to stand up for yourself. You really do start on a personal level, okay? And stand up for yourself. Read what's going on. Question. Question everyone. Question that person in the, you know, smiling at you in the white coat. Question everything. Okay, and then, you know, it helps when you get involved with other people and just start talking because not everybody's going to accept it. You know, they're going to go, eh, you're a little nuts. But don't stop. Don't get intimidated. You know, don't force it on anybody. But then you find somebody, hey, well, I had this experience. I had that experience. And then just continue with that. And just, you know, when you start getting around other people, like joining this group, that's a wonderful start. There's a ton of information on there that most people just don't know. Start going outside of the box, outside of the little box that they like to put you in. Well, don't question the authority. The doctor knows best. I'm sorry. No.
Now, just to interject here, Barb, I was just having this conversation with Sally yesterday, and apparently so I just want to warn people here. She's more the expert on this. This is what she does 24/7. But apparently if you're taking a child in, if you're a parent and they want to give your child a vaccination and you refuse the vaccination, apparently that doctor calls CPS and you get your child taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to warn people, like, because, you know, you're talking about stand up for yourself, do your research, but if you are a parent with a child refusing a vaccine in a state that's mandatory, I suppose, apparently they're making a quick call to CPS because you are now a parent who isn't, you know, taking care of your
child.
Isn't
complying.
You're not complying. Of course, we all know that. You're not complying with the matrix here. But, and I understand, so I just wanted to throw that in there just so people don't mix that up with, you know what I'm saying? We just had a case in Arizona last year, very similar. Actually, quite a few of them. But at the end of the day, if you are a parent and it's mandatory in your state, that I would think Sally would have the answers to what you would do if you didn't want to give the vaccine to your child. Now, I do know...
I'll tell you, I know exactly what to do.
Never go near.
Can you please tell us? Yeah.
Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we hear you now.
Before, for some reason, you couldn't hear me, but now I replugged my thing. Anyway, just the bottom line is, if you're pregnant, don't tell anyone. When you have a baby, have it at home. When you take your baby for a... Hold on, please. Let me tell you this.
Don't tell anyone. Do you mean don't tell a doctor? Is that what you're saying?
No, no. Just listen to the sequence. Here's the sequence. You are pregnant and you tell nobody. You have your baby at home. You take your baby for a walk and you're babysitting. You don't go near a pediatrician or a hospital. Do you get my drift?
Mm-hmm.
That's how dangerous it is. And enforcement is done through CPS, even if it's not required. We are mandatory reporters. We feel that your child is imperiled because you're not giving it an Hep B vaccine at birth. We feel that your child is imperiled because you're not injecting the poisons of the MMR. They are then mandated to report. So steer clear of anyone who has a needle or any institution that requires one, like a school or the military.
And is that countrywide? Is that all 50 states?
I'm telling you what's going down. You know, whether it... I gave you the five states where, in order to attend school, you must have a medical exemption, which is beyond rare. Or you homeschool, or you move to a state that has philosophical or religious exemptions. But I'm saying from the get-go, from the minute your child is born, they are imperiled. If you refuse a vaccine, you can get home with your newborn and have CPS waiting at your door. So if you're pregnant, shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it's come to.
That's
isn't
just
it?
Astounding. That's absolutely astounding. I also wanted to mention on Farm Wars, the farmwars.info, Barbara Peterson's website. Barbara, are you up to date on the, you have a browse non-GMO products? Is that pretty up to date?
Actually, no, there's a new, I've got to update everything, that there is a new process that is out, and I'm telling you, what they're doing now is they are actually working on flooding the market with nobody knowing. They want to rename it as bioengineered, so any type of labeling will actually say bioengineered, and who's going to equate that with GMOs? And then they've got the new technique called CRISPR, which is gene editing. They snip and do all that kind of stuff in there, and then they don't use the only thing that the USDA has jurisdiction over is if the organism contains or is used is created by a plant pest or a like a bacteria, and so if it's not classified as that, like they used a bacteria to create the GMO, so this eliminates that, which means that the new GMOs are flying under the radar. We don't even know if it's genetically engineered or not. So my recommendation is trust your farmer. I get my hay from a farmer down the road. He goes organic. He doesn't even have a USDA stamp of approval because they can still allow 5%, you know, GMOs and contamination in your USDA organic. So I trust him. Okay? You have to know the people that you're dealing with. I do a lot of research. I will call up and I will talk to people and I will give them questions that they, you know, either give me a straight answer to or I'm gone before I buy something from them. Okay, you really have to do that. The most stuff, anytime you see corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, bad, anything with corn, soy, Now they're doing it to mangoes, I believe. Anything like that is definitely a red flag. Cottonseed, no. It's all a red flag. I will have to update that and get that on
okay.
there. The
gonna,
ones that are there
gonna,
are
but most
valid,
of everything
but there's
that's
more.
On there is okay, right?
Hmm?
Most of what's on that list, or are you saying
yeah.
you have to take some things off that list now?
No, I'm not going to take anything off of it. Just add to it.
Okay.
And GMO sugar,
okay.
Sugar is a big deal. You see a package that says sugar? It's not cane sugar. It's GMO sugar beet sugar. You have to get pure cane sugar, okay? But they're still working on genetically engineering the cane sugar now, but it isn't in full swing yet. But if you get sugar, sugar is in anything, and that's in just about everything. It's GMO sugar beet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to tell you a story that is kind of typical of when you call your legislators and you're put over to the press person. I believe the press person is the infiltrator, okay, having called legislators so many times. And the last time I called, there was a legislator in New York. His name was Abinante, and he had created a bill to ban vaccines containing GMOs. So then there was a measles scare. Right? And so I called his office and I said I'd like to interview him about his bill to ban vaccines containing GMOs. And I was put over to the press person. And the press person said, oh, he withdrew that bill. And I said, I'm very sorry to hear that. He said, well, his constituents didn't want that bill. I said, really? Can I get a list of the constituents who do want GMOs in their vaccines? You mind if I get that list? You know, This is the press person. Watch for the press person in these legislators' offices. But, I mean, how ludicrous. His constituents
Can I have the list
wanted
of people
GMOs
who want
in
the
their
GMOs.
Vaccines.
Yeah, did you get it?
So anyway, we only have a couple of minutes left. I would like to remind everybody to go to tinyurl.com/VVM2020 and sign the petition for a national memorial to vaccine victims. I want to thank my co-host, Roxy Lopez, who has gotten more signatures to that petition than any sole person. And I'd like to thank very much our guest, our knowledgeable guest, Barbara Peterson of FarmWars.net. Thank you ever so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Tune
thank
in
you.
Now for Ingrey Castle on Immunize Wisely. You've been listening to Vaccine Free America with Sally L. Cordon. Cheerio.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic.